Good morning. This is Pastor Marcella Baker. It's the last verse in Psalm 23 that's often translated as, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." However, a more accurate translation might well be, "Obviously, God's compassion and loving kindness is relentlessly pursuing me all my days, and I'll be at home with God forever." Well, whether it's the word obviously or surely, I hope today during this message, it's the word surely that will offer us an opportunity in Psalm 23 and in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, time to consider what it means to surely be blind to the needs of others around us, and surely identify our attitudes of blindness and discover how the eyes of our hearts can be opened to the light of God and the needs of others, and finally, to surely see Jesus not as judge of the world, but healer of our blindness, so that we may come to discover a moment of discernment that reveals that surely we are being relentlessly pursued by God's loving kindness and compassionate grace all the days of our lives, so that we will surely be at home with God forever. With this in mind, surely, we need to start our message today with prayer. Let's begin. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As an 11-year-old, my Christian faith was first publicly confirmed standing at an altar of Anacostia United Methodist, well, it wasn't even a United Methodist Church, it was Anacostia Methodist Church in Washington, D.C. I was holding my little white leather Bible with the gold zipper and a color picture of a blonde, blue-eyed Jesus as the Good Shepherd marking the place in that Bible where I could quickly find the 23rd Psalm. Over the years, religious educators have discovered that a shepherd is a very comforting image for children. But not only has the image of the shepherd been a comforting symbol for children, it was used by the Israelites and Jews like Jesus since the time of King David. Then it made its first appearance in Christian art during the first century of the Common Era, around 60 AD, making one of the most ancient signs of our Christian faith. However, that sign or symbol wasn't supplied back then with any lofty or romantic ideals of still waters or green pastures and rural life. Instead, the Good Shepherd and sheep of the 23rd Psalm were the most common images of catacomb art. That's right. It was how early Christians decorated their tombs. The sheep actually symbolized the deceased soul, and the shepherd was the symbol of Jesus bearing the dead to heaven. In the Bible, sheep often would poetically stand for God's people in the same way that the eagle stands for Americans as a national symbol for people here in the United States. And now, what would you say if I told you that for Americans, the 23rd Psalm wasn't always the beloved psalm of all those in the Bible? It's been argued by some that it actually became the most cherished psalm in America because of the bloodshed and the killing of all of those during the Civil War. Yes, it took that scale of destruction and violence in our divided nation for folks to find deep comfort in the shepherding Lord, his staff, his comfort, and his table of enemy love. Now, in John chapter 9, to discover or to understand the radical social and political implications of this powerful story and relate it to Psalm 23, well, we need to pay close attention to the signals that the text provides right at the beginning. John chapter 9 is not just a story about one man's blindness, but rather what and whom the disciples, the Pharisees, and the rest of us do not see. It's the lack of either a definitive or infinitive article in the Greek language, which indicates that the protagonist is not only, well, a man born blind, but also humanity, blind from birth. So, blind humanity is indicated subtly, but profoundly in John 9. The neighbors of the once blind man and those who regularly saw him begging are unable to identify him. They could see. They often passed by him, and yet they had never really looked at his poverty. They had never really looked at him as a person, even though they passed by him almost every day, right in front of them on the street. In the scripture, Jesus' opponents are putting him out of the synagogue, are putting this man out of the synagogue, which also reflects not just an incident in Jesus' own day, but that of the Jewish Christians in the gospel writer John's day. It appears that John is reading some of his own situation into the time as a Christian in his time and Jesus' early ministry in light of each other. This is precisely what we must do and what we are doing this morning as we consider what's written here in chapter 9. We must see double as we consider this text. We must also consider reading our church's life today, too, and God's life in light of each other, one another. Perhaps you might think of situations in our day. Shall I name a few where we are at odds with those in authority, like they were with the Pharisees? Let's think about something. Okay. We think about perhaps being at odds with those in authority when it comes to women's rights. Or how about at odds with the Supreme Court or leaders in government? And perhaps at odds with those who are blind to the needs of those that they dehumanize. Was someone thinking about police brutality? And perhaps the laws that are supposed to protect people from violence? And how about the way we see those that are thought of as sinners and often ignored, like those with addictions and people living on the streets? The blind man has longed to see. His poor parents are subpoenaed and dragged in. And the authorities, those in power, mistrust the upstart blind man who now sees. But there's what finally matters. Here's what finally matters. Opened eyes and seeing. And Jesus. Jesus, the one who brings healing. That healing event, a renewed heart, surely what happened resulted in other hearts that responded with goodness and mercy. When we see attitudes that we have been blinded to in the past, that Jesus opens our eyes to do something about, like the cycles of violence or hate or name-calling or racism and lies that we know are lies, we are called to be witnesses to God's nonviolence both verbally, physically, and politically in the world. Surely, we aren't blind, are we? The formerly blind man makes it very simple. He says, "I was born blind, and now I see." Having experienced this miracle of healing, he can't fathom why the leaders of the people aren't quibbling over, why they are quibbling over the inessentials, like why he was born blind or that he was healed on the Sabbath. God's action breaking into history is no respecter of human laws. And the crucial point is simply this, he says, "I see." This sight that we gain through Jesus is a dangerous thing. It is intended to change everything. It changes those who think they see and reveals that they can be blind. In John's Gospel, we see the blind man's parents distancing themselves from him because of his claim that sight was given by Jesus, except to declare Jesus as someone sent by God is to be declared a sinner by the Jewish community, and they would be forced out of the synagogue along with their son. Even now in our own time, Jesus declares that if we claim sight as a Christian and remain blind by our failure to really see the truth of love in action, well, we are blind. To claim Jesus, to say, "I'm a Christian," is to open ourselves to Jesus' message of love and forgiveness. Surely, if we really were blind before our eyes were opened by the Lord, the light of the world, who brought us out of darkness, then from that point on, our own lives should begin to reveal the same signs of God's love seen in Jesus' life. A change in the way we see things, a changed heart is a changed life. Now that's dangerous indeed. If we immerse ourselves in the teachings and the example of Jesus, it may become impossible to follow Jesus without reflecting on the meaning of his commandment for us to pour ourselves out for enemy and for friend. I want to recommend a short story that illustrates how new sight can change a person. I want you to try and find and read the short fictional story, Cathedral, by the American author Raymond Carver. It's in a short story collection by the same name, Cathedral, and it was published in 1983. In the story, Cathedral, blindness has a twofold meaning. It represents both the character, Robert's lack of sight, and the narrator's more intangible failures of perception. You will need to pay attention to the narrator's inability to understand other people's feelings and his inability to find meaning or joy in his life. The cathedral that the narrator draws with Robert represents true sight and the ability to see beyond the surface to the true meaning that lies within. Okay, that is all I'm going to say without giving away any more of the ending, but this book is a wonderful short story that I just know that you will enjoy. Now, like the Pharisees, the narrator in the story, Cathedral, thought his world was simple. He thought, "I can see," and Robert, well, he cannot. He's blind. The story is all about true sight and an ability to see beyond the surface with sight that will allow us to make way for love. Many people today are stuck with the notion that God is about judgment and power, and not just any power, but coercive power that likes to throw its weight around using violence as a form of judgment wherever necessary. Well, I like a quote by Reverend John Killinger, the famous author and theologian, who said, "Perhaps God was Perhaps Jesus was God's answer to a bad reputation. You know, the Pharisees thought that they could see, but they were blind to their own sin, to their own self-sufficiency and self-satisfaction. In verse 39, Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment so that those who do not see may see." Now, it is then that the words of Psalm 23 can be heard. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." May we believe this, and that after discerning God's love for us, let us commit to opening the eyes of our hearts to see how we can use our time, our talents, our offerings, our prayers, our witness of love to the service and energy as citizens of God's eternal kingdom, built on earth as it is in heaven. And then surely, surely with God's help, we will be able to say, "I once was blind, but now I see." Amen.